How Stock Productions presents The Three Rivers Academy, a MetaHumans Rising actual play. Featuring Ariana Corazon de Sousa, a brash Brazilian heiress and perfect body, played by Archie. Steve Reflection Moore, a young shapeshifter who has lost his home due to his powers, and played by Julian. Mina Sherdell, a young girl adjusting to the snakes that have begun to replace her hair, played by Krista. Soren Quick Steel Stahl, inheritor of the legendary blade Tearfang and the curse that follows it, played by Mike. Welcome to Three Rivers.
This is the first episode of the Three Rivers Academy actual play from MetaHumans Rising. Let's go around and introduce everybody.
I'll start. Hello. My name is Krista, and my character is Mina Sherdell. She is a third-generation Iranian-American, Persian-American, Iranian-American, who lived with her mother and father and started to show signs of having some sort of, I don't know, metahuman-y physical manifestations by having snakes in her hair. And in Iranian culture, snakes are seen as evil. So her parents, in extreme concern, went to their imam and tried to figure out what to do about it. And their mom had them say a series of prayers and blessings, hoping that it would rid them of the infestation, because they didn't tell the imam that it was actually on their daughter's head. They just said that their house was infested. And after several months of this not working and the snakes in her hair increasing, her parents became more and more devout in their religion, and her mother, in a depression and panic, turned to alcoholism, which is against their religion. After so long of the panic, the father came to the imam and told him the truth, and the imam is actually more open to current beliefs and somewhat of a science believer on top of being religious, expressed that it was nothing that they actually needed to fear, and told them about the Three Rivers Academy, and I guess that's where the story opens up, is she's going to the Three Rivers Academy.
All right, who wants to go next?
I can go next. I'm Michael. My character is Soren Stahl, or Søren Fjorgenstolt, if he's actually, in Iceland and somebody can pronounce his name properly. He spent most of his life traveling the Nordic countries with his father, studying Norse mythology and runology, as well as being trained both physically and mentally for some eventual supposed greater purpose that his father never actually explained to him. Before joining the academy, both him and his father ended up in Central City, where his father ended up dying, and he ended up with a lovely magic sword, and on the run from evil Norse mythological creatures. He was found by a police detective working with the MCPD, who brought him to the school, where he has been haunting the place, studying magic from his father's books, and occasionally setting the library on fire on accident.
On accident.
It's only happened twice.
Okay. Who wants to go next?
My name's Julian. My character is Stephen Moore. He's a former gangbanger. Left the gangs after he got shot. And was rescued by a policeman who noted his unusual abilities and sent him to Three Rivers School.
Okay. And that brings us to our fourth player.
All right, and my name is Archie, and I'm playing Ariana Corazon de Sousa, a Brazilian national who, because of her increasingly irritating attitude, was sent away to the United States in order to learn how to deal properly with normal people, thinking herself better than everybody else because of the nature of her powers. She's going there where she has to slum it with these peasants, as she might have referred to them, on that fateful day when her mother decided to visit her, and she thought herself so full of herself that when she brushed against this peasant and this homeless person, and subsequently the homeless person ended up reacting violently with metahuman powers. While she survived the incident because of her haughty self and powers, her mother didn't do so well. I think that's pretty much it, right, on my end.
For our first session, is talking a little bit more about the characters' backstories and building up their team origin. We're going to be talking about an issue zero. Issue zeros are events in a character's life that kind of happened before the start of play that help define who they are. It might involve their powers, or it might be just a personal story. It doesn't have to be anything super detailed, but it should help us to understand who your character is. Who wants to go first here?
So what basically brought me into the heroing thing, basically, you're saying?
Well, it doesn't have to be why you're a hero, but it's something that helps define who the character is.
As I said about Mina, her parents kind of freaked out about her having the snakes appearing in her hair, and they didn't realize that it might be her becoming a metahuman. They thought that it was more of a religious thing, that they were being punished for their relaxed American standard and whatnot. She feels kind of ashamed of the fact that these snakes have manifested in her head. And so she's trying to basically prove that she can still be a good person and that they're more of a blessing. And I suppose prove to her parents that she's a good person, that there's nothing to fear.
All right, so tell us something about before she left to go to the Three Rivers, something she might have done for her parents or with her parents to show that.
I would say that she was starting to get into the religion with her parents. Because she's a third generation Iranian American, she's extremely anglicized. So they really never went to their place of worship, and they didn't take the time to do any sort of daily devotions that they should have been. So she decided to join in with them and dress the part and go to mosque and build a relationship with their imam. And so that, I suppose, is a motivation to her.
She tried to build her, like, because her parents embrace their religion, she tried to do that with them?
Yes.
Is that, okay.
She definitely tried to embrace religion with her parents.
If we were to call that a drive, and for our listeners, drives are motivations for characters that help them go beyond their normal limits. So if we were to pull a drive from that, what do you think that would be? Maybe religion helps to build family, or how would you define that?
That would be nice, like a strong sense of loyalty to families, and especially, families. I was going to say, like, father-daughter relationships, because she had such a hard time with her father.
Okay. So who would like to go next?
I can try, but I've been thinking about how to do it in issue zero, and I've had no luck for a while now.
Well, you just saw one, and that was a perfectly good issue zero. So an issue zero is just a short thing about, you know, something that defines your character. So in the case of Mina, it is, while she was Americanized, she still made the effort to go to the mosque and speak to the imam to try and be closer to her family. And that's a issue zero right there.
I don't know. The problem is there's, like, not a lot of room in between the end of his backstory and him ending up at the school.
Right, it doesn't have to happen there. This could be like a visiting a site with your father, or the first time you met your uncle before your father killed him, or before he killed your father. So, okay, well, let's jump to something different. Julian, We know that Steve lost his home after he demonstrated metahuman powers, right? Why don't you tell me about the event, like what happened with his family before he started living on the streets and joining a gang? Like, what was that event with his family that led to this?
Well, his family wasn't very rich, so to speak. They had the classic landlord who likes to bully you into paying your rent.
Did they actually live in like a slum tenement?
Pretty much. He had inadvertently copied his father. So he had the appearance of his father and the size. So when the landlord came banging on the door, he got up and tried to do his best imitation of his father he could, which wasn't very good and came out very bad when the father woke up due to the talking, him and the landlord yelling back and forth at each other. The father woke up and he thought that someone was trying something. He wasn't even awake enough to realize what was going on. But the landlord, he was convinced that there was like extra people living in the apartment that weren't being paid for.
So this is worse than an apartment. They actually lived in like one of those like daily, weekly rentals where the number of occupants matters.
Something like that. Well, actually, that's how the slumlord was running his place.
Okay. Saying,
okay, mother, father, child, that's it. Anyone else can charge extra.
These two adult men.
Obviously, one is an extra. So it came out to like a three-way yelling match, and he finally just said, I did what I can, I'm gone. And just grabbed his stuff and took off. When he grabbed his stuff, that's when the father realized who it was. But he didn't bother trying to call him back. Didn't try to stop him because whatever this kid has turned into is something that's beyond his understanding. So he took off and he was living on the street from that point.
What would be the drive that kind of comes out of that?
I don't know. Try to do what's right. I mean, he was trying to do the right thing. It didn't work. No, it completely did not work.
And he tried to stand up to the landlord.
He was trying to convince the landlord, yeah, we'll get your money, everything okay, just calm down, get the money on Wednesday. Landlord wasn't buying it because I think they were late already.
And then he ends up leaving when things get too intense. Here's a question for you. Do you think that Steve or Reflection as a hero would be more interested in trying to de-escalate the situation? Like, he would try and calm things down before it came to blows. Because that really, like, listening to what you're saying, that seems to be, like, he tried to use his power to calm people down, and then when he couldn't do that, he just tried to make it easier on his family by leaving.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So tries to stabilize situations.
So who wants to go next?
Quite frankly, the issue with with Ariana, and the reason she was sent away in the first place is her attitude is insufferable.
Okay. So do you want to talk a little bit about the fight that led you to being sent to Three Rivers? Or the event that led to you being sent to Three Rivers?
Yeah, I think that's basically what it comes down to. Because Ariana, and her, and of course thinking that she's better than everybody else, basically does whatever she wants on the compound. Now, she lives in this lovely manor in Brazil, where she ends up half the time, if she's not doing her studies, she's sitting out there sunning because, you know what, she needs to work on her tan, or otherwise partying with her friends locally. After dealing with her for years, it got to a point where she went ahead and started being abusive towards the staff. Something that her father would be totally intolerable of. The staff is the reason why they have attained the empire they had in the coffee business, and that was like the last straw. Basically, he said, Ariana, I love you, my daughter, but enough is enough. You need to learn respect of others, and I know just the school which will work towards your needs. And basically, Ariana's like, needs? I have no needs. Come on, Dad. I'm trying to learn the business. Okay. And part of learning the business is learning how to deal with others. Thinking, you need to learn what it's like to live as one of them, or you can go ahead and take over my empire. Begrudgingly, he sends her to Phoenix. There, you will learn the meaning of how to be a proper person. And on top of that, no money. I'm cutting you off. No, Dad. No. I got it. I'm like, no. Go. Tomorrow, you are on the plane. I have already made the arrangements. And basically she was agog at this whole situation. So here she is being sent among the peasants, so to speak. That's basically what ends up bringing her there. She needs to learn how to go ahead and use her power to the benefit of her people. And that's something that beginning of what her father was trying to teach her.
Now, you already have a drive of noblesse oblige. What would you call the takeaway for her here? You know, maybe something like, there is a line not to be crossed. You know, respect of your elders or respect of your father.
Well, I don't think it's so much of me. She respects her father.
Uh-huh.
But I think she doesn't have respect for other people.
Okay.
Because she thinks they're below her station. So it's about teaching her that it's because you have this great power as being part of this coffee empire, you need to understand that you are nothing without them. Your power, whether it be financially or your personal power, comes with the responsibility that you need to take care of the people around you. Something that got struck home when her mother ends up dying at her hand because she was not looking out for her mother when she did what she did, and that resulted in the death of her death.
So maybe it's something like learn to respect others. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah. She needs to learn to respect others in the same way that she expects others to respect her. Hope that comes across right.
So I believe that leaves just Soren.
During all of that, I started writing stuff down, so I have a basis to work off of. It is a serious wake-up call to learn that all the myth and legend you have been taught all your life turns out to be real and very much a threat. When my father was killed by my uncle, using the very sword I now carry, I did not know what to do. When the Dewyrger attacked us, screaming in Proto-Norse about reclaiming Tyrfang, my worldview bloomed. With my training, I took up the blade that killed my father and used it to fight my way free of the creatures straight out of Norse mythology that attacked me. For a week I ran, hid, fought, and survived by luck and by leaving a trail of Dewyrger blood in my wake. I did my best to limit the damage of our battles, but too many innocent people would get caught in the crossfire as I fled and fought my way to freedom. With the chaos left in my path, I truly contemplated just giving in so no one else would get caught in our crossfire. But a man whose name I barely remember found me and took me in and away from the Dewyrger and eventually to the Three Rivers Academy. And that's all I got.
That was super well written.
Yes, well,
yeah, that was nicely prepared.
As I was reading it, I started tripping over my own misspellings and bad grammar. So,
what do you think the drive that becomes taken away from that is?
I was actually, as I was writing it, coming to the conclusion that I think limiting the damage to innocent bystanders kind of fits. Because it was the thing that almost made him give up was not the exhaustion, not the fighting, but the people who were getting hurt in the crossfire of their fight.
Okay. Now we know a little bit more about each of the characters. What we're going to do now is the team origin. This is similar to what we just did, except that everybody's going to work together. So before we do that, let's actually talk a little about the Three Rivers Academy. Before the first game, we established that each of the characters are going to be attending this school for metahuman children. Now, this is a world of superheroes, and this school tries to help children who may not necessarily be superheroes or want to be superheroes, but people that need help with their powers. It's a private school hidden away outside of Phoenix. There's not a huge student body, so that the teachers that are there can spend more time with the students. And while there's no danger room or training people how to use their powers, they do teach a class on how to control your abilities or keep yourself focused so that you don't lose control. Does anybody have any questions about Three Rivers itself before we do the team origin?
I'm assuming that I'm covered by the state because if he's homeless, he's got no backup.
There's no cost to attend Three Rivers. It technically doesn't exist, but this is where children in need end up.
Okay.
now that I'm thinking about it personally, how did something that should that might want to have come up within the game is the fact that her father knew about Three Rivers, but it was never explained how he knew about it, whether it be because of his personal connections or because perhaps he's a metahuman himself. That's something I'm going to leave open for the game.
Okay. And we should also establish that Ariana, due to her mother, has dual citizenship with the U.S. and Brazil. Three Rivers is actually a really small school. There's probably less than 60 students.
Where do they get their funding?
Donations. Private investors. Well, private parties that are interested in seeing these children succeed.
Asking the real questions.
Well, I could bet that Ariana's father probably is plunking in a bunch of cash in there, too.
What other questions do we have?
Well, I think we were establishing that the school is an all-year school and not something that's to the semester setup that we have here in the United States normally.
Well, actually, it is something that we have set up in the U.S. It just depends on what school district you're in and which schools you're attending.
The art school I went to had a setup like that. It was all year round except for like a week or two.
Yeah, so like the winter break is like 2 weeks, the summer break is like 2 weeks, and then there's a spring break and a fall break.
All right, not a problem.
What other questions do we have?
Nothing else comes to mind on my end.
I can't think of anything else.
I think I'm good.
All right, when Krista comes back, I'll give a few other establishing facts, and then we'll start the team origin. So Krista is back, so we're going to do the team origin now. And the way this works is essentially we're going to establish an event that kind of brings everybody together. Before the start of the recording, we agreed that this was going to be the first day of school, or the start of a new school year, I should say. And essentially what's going to happen is we'll start with one player who will describe an event and why that threat is beyond their personal capabilities, and then ask another character to come into the scene and then explain why that character would help them to resolve it. Okay? Now, in between these scenes, we'll basically go between each player so that everybody can introduce a new threat or complication to the overall threat. But we can have narrative in between. So don't think we're going to go to challenge to challenge to challenge if we want to have narrative in between. Does that make sense?
I think so.
I think so.
All right. Who wants to set things up? Introduce the first challenge and what's going on.
Does it have to be a big challenge?
It doesn't have to be. It has to be something that you personally couldn't overcome. Right? And then you're going to end up asking a player for help and explain why you think their character would be able to help resolve that scene.
I have an idea if no one else does.
Lead off?
One of the students at the school receives a phone call informing him of very bad news.
Okay.
Causing him to go into a spiral of depression, which causes his mutant powers to rage out of control. And it turns out he was a very powerful storm controller, instantly engulfing the school in probably the worst storm they've ever seen.
Let's set this up. Three Rivers is set on a plateau. Student housing is on either side, boy dorms, girl dorms. And he gets a call. He goes into depression. And does he go to, like, one of the main buildings, like where the library and the science labs are? Or is it just, like, from the student dorms, he sets off this uncontrollable storm?
I picture it as he gets the call and he just slumps down in the dorms and the storm just starts to rage around the dorms and then spreads out to engulf the entire academy.
Now, we know that Soren is there, or somehow involved with this storm, or as the storm is breaking out, and there's a a complication that happens here that he can't overcome. What is that?
So as the storm and the wind start to strengthen, it's actually causing damage to the roof of the dorm, and despite his slight magical abilities, he honestly can't seem to think of a way to stop the winds from ripping the roof off.
There's some cars here, there's some bikes here. This is strong enough to like, send them flying, because it's like sheer. This is like a hurricane.
Right.
Okay. So you've got all sorts of debris flying around, and the roof of this building like starts to break down. And Soren is on the roof?
Yeah, so Soren would try and climb up the roof and use his magical defenses to try and ward off the winds from damaging the roof, but he's just not powerful enough to stop anything of this magnitude. He's delaying it, he ain't stopping it.
Alright, so what's the complication to Soren? Does he get like thrown off the roof or something?
Yeah, because at this point, if the magical protections he's laying down aren't helping him, the magical protections on him aren't going to carry him through either, and he's going to go flying.
Go ahead and bring someone into the scene to help you, well, survive the fall, because this is like five stories.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe Ariana doesn't happen to be in the area, despite being, you know, not the friendliest person around. Happens to just be in the right area to catch a falling man.
I mean,
it's raining men.
Well, true. Oh Lord, no.
Hallelujah.
But well, at the very least, Ariana would definitely not allow another person to suffer. I mean, because of her inaction, dropping the new bed that she was about to get, she was trying to have delivered because of because she can't stand those mattresses that she's forced to deal with in the dorms. She's unfortunately forced to drop the mattress onto the big puddle of water in front of her, irritating it to no end as she goes ahead and catches... what was the character's name again?
Soren.
Soren.
Okay, so you essentially see him start to fall, drop the mattress that you're carrying, and bound across the plateau, like, catching him before he can hit the ground?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I would try to fly, but, you know, that don't ever work.
I'm guessing since you were on the other side of the plateau, it may have felt like a heavy rain that was hitting, but, again, that's only going to get worse, and you probably realize as you move through that it's getting stronger. So let's talk to one of the other new students, because this is the first day there for a few people. Where is either Mina or Steve?
How difficult is it to find a source of the disturbance?
My question would be...
He's probably in the male dorms, because that's...
Right, this started at the male dorms, right? But this is your first day of class, so you might be in the dorms with it, or you might have been, like, in one of the central buildings in, like, an orientation... as the storm gets worse, or you could just be walking across the plateau, moving from one of those locations to another. But I think based on Mike's description, it's very clearly originating from the men's dorm.
Okay.
What's another complication that's happening here? Like, make this worse. You gotta get worse before it gets better.
Make this worse. Oh, goody. Well, I can try to make things better and inadvertently make it worse.
I found a free mattress.
It's a little wet.
What I was thinking was, like I said, if I could tell where it's coming from, maybe try to get to the source and maybe try to shut it down from there. A hurricane doesn't just appear out of nowhere. So this has got to be created by something. And if it's easy enough to see that building over there is where it's starting from, that's where he heads. The reason being that because of his mimicking ability, if it's a person that's starting it, he might be able to mimic them and counter it.
Okay.
Now, since he's never seen a power like that before, he's probably not going to get it right the first time. So he probably ended up making it even worse storm until he figured out what's going on.
So instead of making a counter cyclonic effect, he ends up making it like a Cat 6.
Yeah, he starts making it worse, and then when he realizes once he finally realizes it's making worse, then he'll try it. Like, okay, other way.
So part of this is you're going to have to ask Mina how she's going to help you out. So whatever complication you have, you'll need to draw Mina in to help you based on her abilities. So did you want to go with that?
I'm trying to think.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure. I guess.
How about it starts hailing, and Mina, who has a rather high resistance to ice, would actually be in a position to do a little bit of help.
Like, that's going to make me know what to do.
Well, so maybe... What if it was this? Like, your plan was to get in there and get to the metahuman, but you get hit by, like, a flying car. Because this is a hurricane.
Ouch.
Right? And then Mina could, one, she is resistant to the hail, and two, could maybe help move the car.
Okay. That would be interesting.
Because
actually, since it's on a plateau, maybe it's an SUV. Anyway.
Well, it's probably an SUV or a Land Rover, not just like, you know, a four-door sedan. Or a Jeep.
I was going to ask if Mina Mina's stakes were strong enough to try to hold the roof down. Or is that not, like, an issue anymore?
Well, that's still an issue. We're trying to pull each person in, so we need to resolve Julian's complication. Right? And then we'll address...
Windstorm?
Well... So... Well, his goal is to get in there and help the person, but he has to run through a tornado to do it. And so that's what I was saying, there's probably debris that might hit him, and then you could come in and help rescue him from that.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, so it could be a matter of him just running across and, like, me being, like, at a Coke machine, and suddenly the storm appears, and looking around, seeing things flying, and I see a car coming at him. Just, look out!
So are you good with that?
Or I could be dragged
to the mattress. Free
mattress. Drop the mattress in an even muddier puddle.
All right, so I just want to point out how I just pictured this going down. Julian, or Steve, is sprinting towards the men's campus, right? And he knows what he has to do. And this Jeep comes rolling through the plateau. And Mina is trying to catch up to him, and her snakes have grown out and are holding this mattress that was abandoned, and she flings it like a discus and knocks the Jeep off course.
With a mattress? I don't know if that's really plausible.
I don't know how plausible it is, but that's just the vision I had in my head when you kept bringing up the mattress. That's
what I'm it could be a good mattress.
I guess if you want to go for the more realistic path, she throws the mattress at Steve and knocks him out of the path.
Okay.
I was thinking, just to make it really shitty, is that she's carrying the mattress and she drops it, the snakes drop it, like a really, really muddy puddle, and then she knocks the car out of the way. Just to keep up with the trend of pissing off people's characters.
Okay.
I think getting tackled by a flying mattress is kind of interesting.
I would think that would be terrible. Like, I mean, the car would fuck you up, but the mattress would still fuck you up.
I would rather be caught underneath a mattress than a car.
Definitely.
Again, I'd rather be hit in the face with a mattress than a car. It is up to you, though.
Yeah, but choose one, guys.
No, you choose.
No, it's your character. You choose it.
Yeah, I'll throw the mattress at him.
Nice.
Oh, that's too funny.
I saved you!
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Oh, rolling car. That's a problem. Thank you very much.
So, Ariana.
Yes.
You are holding Soren, but the roof, like, there are cement slabs that are tearing off the roof.
Jeez. Ouch.
And you just see this car roll past, and a student get knocked out of the way with... Was that your mattress?
And, of course, the car lands on the mattress, tearing it up.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm more concerned about the fact that that rolling car is now heading down the hill.
Okay.
Or it's potentially going to go ahead and run into someone.
Okay, so the car is now rolling down the hill towards maybe where new arrivals are still coming in.
Yeah, and considering how bad the storm is, you know that everybody, I think they're more focused on trying to deal with their personal issues than incoming traffic.
Well, I would also point out that you're in a desert, and if it's raining really hard, they could potentially be washed away before the car even hits them.
That's true.
What are you doing, and then what complication are you going to need help with?
I'm trying to think what I can do here. Well, actually, what I was thinking that perhaps the winds are strong enough, I'm going to go ahead and use this car not only to stop it from hitting them, to possibly even use it as a levee against the flood rains.
Okay.
But unfortunately, there's someone in the car, and she can't get to them in order to get them out because she's too busy holding the levee up to keep the potential rainwaters from getting into where the students are being the students that currently are.
All right, so you're going to run after the car, but you're not fast enough to get to it, and this woman is in danger of not just being killed, but the car also rolling down the road. Who can help you out with the situation?
Well, let's see. We got the person with the sword that I never saw used. You have this one who's running. I don't see him because he's in the male dorms.
No, he's under a mattress.
Oh, under the mattress. So I don't.
You just saw him sprinting towards the male dorms, and before the car could hit him, he got hit by your mattress.
Okay, so basically, okay, I'm trying to think what we can do here. I'm like, well, I don't know.
In theory, you're still holding Soren, so you could always throw him.
So, Soren, do you think you can stop this car?
Stop the car? No. Get the person out of the car? Probably.
Well, I'll try to be gentle.
Just throwing a body.
I'll try to be gentle as I throw Soren at the car to try to save the passenger within it.
As I fly through the air, I remember, yeah, this is why Wolverine's the only one who does the fastball special, because he regenerates from this shit.
Oh, you know what? You know what the funny thing is? Ariana would be like, who? Because she doesn't know the comic book popular culture, because it's so beneath her.
I know who I'm going to zero in on.
How are you saving this passenger as you're being thrown through the air?
Well, I'm very dexterous, very acrobatic, and I have a sword. So I will draw my sword as I fly through the air, use my acrobatics and dexterity to catch onto the car, slice my way easily through the metal, grab the woman, and jump away from the car.
Still have the complication of this car that is going to collide with, or this Jeep, rather, that is potentially going to collide with a bus that's coming in with a new student.
I personally think Mina could handle that.
All right. So, Mina, how do you handle that?
How far am I from it?
You tell me. You've been running from the girls' dorms. You probably run as fast as a normal person. However, since your snakes can extend out like 20, 30 meters.
Speak in American.
The snakes can extend 60, 70, 80 feet.
There we go. That's the proper way to do it.
And they're strong enough to lift a person with ease. Like, maybe they can run. Like, use the snakes to, like, carry you.
Go Doc Ock.
I was thinking that, but I didn't know if I could do that, because I was like, snake slither.
In this case.
I say that I say, go gadget snakes. No.
Oh, Lord.
Go gadget dreadnoughts. Try to run as fast as I can and realize that I'm not going to make it.
in time, so my hair, speaking to me, I guess on a, from a psychic link, extends past my feet, and I ride it like the wave, man. What is not being used to, like, get me there will extend out as far as it can to suspend the car.
Okay.
And I, while I am strong, am having a hard time holding on to it and needing aid from Ariana.
Let's see if we can get this. Ariana flings sword at the Jeep. Sword pulls his sword out, shears the roof off as he lands on the hood, pulls the passenger out and jumps. And then as the Jeep begins to slide down towards the bus, you have Mina snakes kind of curl around. It's like
a big wave.
Like a wave of snakes?
Like I imagine they either come from behind me or from in front of me.
Kind of like slither under the Jeep and lift it up. But it begins to falter. So, Ariana, are you going to help out here?
I'll help out any way I can. Still have to deal with these people with the car that's running towards them.
That's what we're dealing with.
I guess I got to see if I can go ahead and outpace the car, whether by leaping or by running.
Okay, so Mina is slowing the car down with her snakes.
So I'm going to see if I can head off the car and try to stop it.
You're like trying to, like you said you like put the snakes underneath it like a wave, so it kind of rolls up. And then you're, like, trying to hold it back. And that's when Ariana shows up to finally ground the car.
Yeah, I'll slow it to the halt. Or maybe I'll just end up stopping there and see if I could pull off that Superman just pose and let the car hit me. Yeah, she'll sit there and try to interpose and try to see if she could stop the car the hard way.
So, does that work?
I'm going to say no.
Okay, well, what happens?
Well, she thinks she's going to stop it, and she ends up getting carried along with it, dragged along with the car. I mean, maybe she is slowing it down a little bit, but she's getting all tore up in the process. Well, not physically, but...
But at this point, there's like, the ground is turned to mud, and she can't hold a grip? Is that what we're talking about? Like, she just can't get solid footing because of the rain?
Yeah, the rain, the fact that the mud is... she's all muddied up at this point, just trying to... dealing with the momentum of the car. So here she is, she's completely muddied, mud all over herself. She looks like a freaking swine wallowing in the mud.
The rain will wash it off.
Well, maybe afterwards, but knowing her luck, the rain will stop after she does this. She's doing that, and she's sliding along on the ground.
All right, but you basically slowed the car down, but someone still needs to deal with the van with the kids in it. So who is that?
Well, I'm trying to think of who's going to be able to do it. We have Mr. Man here who was underneath the mattress, but I think I'm further away from him at this point. I don't think I can actually see him.
Well, this isn't about what your character can see. This is about you as a player engaging another player based on what you know of their character.
I already gave Soren a little love, and
well. If your concern is about Julian's character being far away, he is a really, really, really good runner.
Oh, yeah, so combine his running with maybe he's using something to hydroplane over the rain, he could probably be slipping and sliding his way down the hill on the board, boogie boarding, essentially. And I don't know if that's... I'm putting words in Julian's mouth, though.
Okay, basically, you're saying get... Try to deal with the van.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got one person who's using snakes to try to slow down the car, and someone else standing in front of it like Superman trying to stop the car.
Right. The car is basically taken care of. The primary concern now is the van that was coming up the road that has kids in it that might get washed away or some such.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Okay, well, they're probably safer inside the van than outside of the van.
And you've also already seen Ariana proving to be rather indestructible and strong as she slowed the car down with her own body.
Right. That's what I was saying. So, okay, we've got two people who are displaying a lot of strength. stop the storm, stop the kids, stop the storm, stop the kids, go after the kids.
Yeah, the van is losing traction, and it's just like torrents of water down that hill, or down the drive up to the school.
Okay, that roof that got sheared off.
Well, it's like bits of cement, like blocks of cement were torn off the roof.
Well, no, but he sheared off the top of the car.
Yes.
So.
Sorry, I thought you meant the main storm.
No, not the concrete slabs.
Yeah.
I was feeling the boogie board idea.
Okay.
And just.
You know, the worst thing would be if you used the mattress.
Mattress too big to control.
Yeah, I figured as much, but yeah, it would be funny.
But yeah, it would have been cool, but nah. Okay, so since I'm going to be sliding in this thing anyway, use the roof of the car to slide down the hill. And yes, I know I'm going to try to jump off near what? Archie, what's your character's name again?
Ariana.
Ariana. Okay.
Ariana's actually right by the roof. So if you want to get to the car roof, you'd be right by her.
Okay. So I grab her, pardon me, switch into her powers.
Okay, so just to describe this for the audience, when you touch her, your body changes and you become, like, identical in appearance to her, except that you're still wearing your tracksuit.
Yes. His clothes did not change.
Who did he just touch?
You.
You. That's why I say, excuse me, and grabbed you.
He's a small little disgust on his face.
Okay, I'm like, and me being full of myself, I'm thinking, wow, I do look good.
In a tracksuit?
Even in the tracksuit.
All right, well then, like, okay, while she's staring and getting like, what the fuck?
Enjoying her own message.
Hmm?
Enjoying her own appearance.
Yeah. Slide down to where the bus is, and now
you've picked up Ariana's super strength along the way. Did you want to, like, slide behind the bus, or you'd slide to, like, where in the bus are we talking about?
Well, I'm trying to get behind the bus to try, and I'm trying to, okay, first, are there trees and bushes and stuff around that we can use to anchor? No?
No, this is, like, you are in the Arizona desert.
Flat, nothing there. Is there a rock around?
You are on the slope of a plateau. Like, school's on a plateau. This is the slope leading up to it.
Does this road go around the plateau to go up, or is this going straight up?
That is up to you.
Well, in either case, what I want to do is I want to push the bus sideways so that it hits the rock wall and stops.
So you kind of slide behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And then shoulder into it to push the bus into, or the van rather, into the side of the plateau.
Correct. So now the bus is not going to slide anymore. As long as the driver realizes he has fourth accelerator.
Yeah, the driver can definitely help you out now that he's no longer in the direct current of the water.
Now, okay, everybody, right? You cool? Okay, cool. Get back up the hill.
So now the four of you together, you guys are finally together at this point.
All right.
Julian, you're the one that saw that it originated from inside the building, right? Or Steve saw that it originated from inside the building.
Right.
So do you want to explain that to everybody else?
Well, this whole mess seems to have started somewhere in the men's dorm. If we can get in there, we can probably figure out what's there and hopefully put a stop to it. Simple, sweet, to the point.
Well, between the two of us, I don't see any problem with it.
By the way, you're strong as hell. Anyway.
But of course.
So he takes off running towards the dorm again.
All right, so Soren, how are you going to help him get to the dorm?
Well, considering all the stuff that's been flying around, there's probably a good chance the door's been blocked by some kind of debris. And since I have already drawn my sword, I might as well put it to good use and simply cut a hole through the wall and into the building.
Okay.
That's handy.
As my sword cuts through the wall with little effort.
Okay. Remind me to stay on your good side.
Don't worry, I'll pay for using this sword later.
So, Ariana, Mina, a hole just got cut into the side of the building, and there are winds strong enough to send cars tumbling around. How do you guys prevent that debris from making things worse?
Looks like I'm going to have to hold the debris. Try to use that as a windbreak to try to push myself closer, since I'm seeking to, perhaps because of the circular winds in this area, there's less rain in this specific spot. Easier for me to go ahead and have more traction with the ground.
Okay.
Where is the roof to the Jeep?
It is down on the pathway up to the school. Steve had used it to hydroplane down there as quickly as possible.
So it would take
to prevent the van. Prevent the van from getting washed away.
So it would take a while for me to get it.
Yeah.
If you need something to block the door, you could reuse the piece of wall he cut.
Ariana's using that.
Nah.
But am I active enough as a windbreak if you wanted to try to get come up from behind me to we could work together? Not that I need it, of course, but, you know.
Since your snakes can grow, you can reinforce from behind them.
Okay. Well, I will use my snakes as your backup to reinforce the debris against the wind.
With all the rain in the air, you can maybe use your snakes to create, like, a wall of ice.
Here's the problem. I forget the things I can do.
That's why we do this.
That and the fact that, remember, your character technically is still trying to learn how to use their abilities.
No, tell me what you want to do.
I'm trying to piece together what you're saying. I was a little distracted. Like, what's happened? Like, I heard, like, that there was a hole in the wall or something.
All right, so the doorway was blocked. Steve said we have to get inside the building. Soren sheared off part of the ground level wall, and then Ariana moved that wall to kind of block all the debris that's flying in the air.
But of course, what she's using to shield us isn't exactly large, because it was more or less man-sized.
Well, I suppose I could just stand watch and, like, keep the snakes on alert and just knock away, like, try to my best to knock away debris and that she's not catching.
Okay. Ariana's holding the wall. You are knocking the debris that's, like, coming over it out of the way or grounding it with your snakes. This leaves it open for Steve to get inside. In the front lobby is a bank of phones, and you can see a student. What's his name?
Thomas.
You can see Thomas sitting there holding this receiver, shaking.
I run up to Thomas and try to wake him out of the state he's in. Just try slapping him a couple of times. Wake up!
Actually, when you slap him, like, his eyes open and they are, like, completely white, and he seems to be in a completely different place. Also, when you slap him, you shift to look like Thomas.
Lights on, but nobody's home. Okay, all right, then I try to piece together how this power works, try to invert what's happening.
The winds begin to die down. Who is going to bring Thomas out of this haze?
I'll do it.
How are you doing this?
So I say that I make sure that Ariana is, like, able to block any other, like, debris that's coming and that what's left behind is small, and I tend to wear a black hoodie, or, you know, whatever color, and I pull my hood over my head and go in to check on...
Thomas is the kid who's in, like, a trance.
I know, I just want to check who's in there. I guess
Soren and Steve are in there.
So I walk in to see what's happening and see the kid kind of in a trance over near the phones and walk over to him and grab his hand and try to get his attention and, like, tap his face and say, like, you have to stop this.
Alright, so you kind of pull him off to the side and, like, get the phone out of his hand because he seems really fixated on that. And as you're trying to break him away, kind of finally comes to. I'm going to ask you the question. Who hears the message on the phone?
I'd say Steve. Steve? He was closest. He was touching him.
As the storm kind of finally abates, you hear this weird tone playing over and over again, and you are filled with this sense of despair, and you just want to see everything destroyed.
That's not good.
And you kind of pick up the phone, and outside the winds begin to pick up again.
Okay, can I smash the phone?
Well, I am standing there with a sword and nothing to do.
Okay.
Next time on Heroes.
We'll do something.
Well, as I see him pick up the phone and seem to start listening to it and the winds start to pick up again, I will cut the line with my sword.
And when that happens, you are pulled out of this trance.
Okay. Toss the handset somewhere, avoiding the people standing here. Go back to shutting down the storm.
The storm is shut down because you helped to calm it down, and then Mina was able to bring Thomas out of his trance.
Okay.
As you guys are kind of recovering, you and Mina are shouldering Thomas. He seems just completely drained. You see Mr. MacArthur. While you and Mina are actually new students, Soren, you recognize him. One of the teachers there, he handles physical education along with he teaches classes on gardening. While you don't recognize him, he's actually very much into the all natural movement, very healthy guy, very fit guy. And he's running as fast as he can from the gymnasium. As you guys are kind of coming out of the boys' dorm carrying Thomas, he's like, what happened?
Bad phone call? It seems that there was a phone call, and when a friend here answered the call, he got assaulted by some kind of sound that just made him want to destroy everything.
A sound?
It was like a music tone or something. When I heard it, I wanted to destroy the rest of the school.
As soon as the polymorph here heard the sound, he started to whip the winds back up, and I cut the line. I didn't get a chance to hear it either, but apparently that's a good thing.
Let's make sure that no one else is hurt inside the dorm. I saw the damage to the roof. Is there anything else I need to know?
Well, I'll need to order a new bed.
There should be a bed already for you. I'm sorry. Is there anybody in danger?
There's a woman who I had to pull out of a sliding/rolling car who's probably going to need some medical attention.
And a new car.
Once the ground soaks up the water, you can get the school bus that's down the road with some students on there.
There's a bus down the road? All right. You guys, make sure everyone's all right in the dorm. I'll go deal with the bus. And he starts sprinting down the road. And he says, guys, thanks. I'll be watching you this year. And that's when we will cut the Team Origin.
All right. Not bad.
That worked out pretty well.
Yeah. The only thing now is I need a new mattress.
The thing that I thought about after we try to cut through the front door is this. If he's causing the winds, he probably blew a hole straight through to the roof where he is. If I got on the roof, I could jump straight down to where he was.
Well, yeah, I was thinking maybe the cyclonic forces.
Well, the way I described it was the storm didn't come out of him. He created the storm above him.
Ah, okay, so that wouldn't have worked. Okay.
Yeah.
All I could think is, who the hell would ensure this school? This is like the beginning of a year.
Well, who insures Hogwarts?
Well, it's not.
It's just magic.
Yeah, that's just magic.
That's just magic. There's a couple of rewards here. So each of you are going to select a player you shared a scene with and offer them a drive based on their actions. Mina's drives are stop bullies and familial loyalty.
Okay.
And Ariana's drives are noblesse oblige and learn to respect others. So somebody needs to pick a character you shared a scene with and give them another drive.
Like one of your own? Or
really? Based on the actions that they took.
I'm not sure what to...
Well, I know that you normally... I know that Steven... Okay, apparently, like... Was it Polymorph?
Yeah, he took Ariana's shape, and then he took Thomas's shape.
Well, I was thinking, because of whatever is happening with Thomas that's unfamiliar, maybe you could take some sort of an empathy drive. I can't really think, put words to it. Like,
That kind of makes sense, because you learn... Your experiences with dealing, being other people, is trying to see how they think, and how you can fill their shoes, how they think and how they are in their shoes. I guess, like, I'm not saying it right.
Quick question: is Steve like Rogue, where he actually is copying a mental image of these people?
I don't think he picks he picks up their powers and their appearance.
Okay, so. He doesn't actually feel the way they feel.
So, I guess the drive could possibly allow you to feel what they feel or think what they're thinking, like get in their head a little bit.
Hmm.
Does that sound good?
I think that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. I just don't know how if that actually works as a drive.
Well, if you wanted to have a drive around it...
Like, it would be like
maybe you could do something like empathize with those you copy. And so, like, if you try to make an emotional connection with the people that you copy, you can, like, that is something that actually pushes you forward. Like, once you copy somebody, you want to know more about them.
That could work.
Julian, pick somebody that Steve shared a scene with other than Mina, and you'll give them a drive.
Okay. Well, I think he spent more time with Ariana's form, I think, than... Actually, he didn't copy Scorn at all, did he? Scorn at all.
Nope.
No, he only copied Ariana and
Thomas. Okay. Well, Ariana... Well, one, he's got... He knows she's got some issues. Change it to the first thing you think about is, damn, I look good. Not even the person copied me. He's like, damn, I look good. Got some definite.
Am I really that shallow? So whenever she overcomes that narcissistic trait, she wants to get over that. Is that something that seems fitting for the character Archie?
Trying to overcome her shallowness. Yeah. It does kind of make sense for her. That it's a part of the whole growing process. Is the world doesn't revolve around her.
All right. Archie, need you to pick somebody, either Soren or Mina, and give them a drive. Actually, I think you need to pick Soren.
Yeah. Well, he's the only person I had any interaction with, really, and that was basically throwing him at the car, and I'm coming up blanks here.
Well, you rescued him from the roof fall, and you flung him at a car.
Well, rescuing him from the fall doesn't exactly give him a drive, except for the fact... hold on, I'm trying to remember. The deal with Soren right now, as far as not being in the school, officially part of the school, wasn't because of what again?
He has just been laying low there. Like, you don't, as a character, you wouldn't know why he's been...
No, no, I don't understand that, but I'm saying more in the terms of something to make him want to belong with others. To have more of a reason to interact with us.
So you're thinking like something like learn to work with others?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't so bad dealing with other people, was it? Try to get out of the whole shell that you're by yourself and that you're at the school. It's not enough to be at the school. You got to interact with the people at the within the school, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was thinking along the same thing, work with a team or...
I don't know, for some reason I keep coming up with damn stupid song lyrics. I guess part of that whole freaking R. Kelly thing we were doing before. That I was doing before, yeah.
So, Soren, based on the scenes that you shared with Mina, you'll need to give her a drive.
Trying to think of... I actually don't think they work together at all.
Well, at the end, she pulled Thomas away and you cut the cord. I mean, you guys... Like, you were all in that same scene together. Plus, when you you cut open a passageway, and she helped to catch the debris while Ariana was holding up the wall. Like, your interactions were really right at the end.
Yeah. I'm having trouble wording it in my head, but what about something like save of those? Because she basically went out of her way to make sure that Thomas was recovered from it without actually having to injure him. So save those in trouble or rehabilitate? No. I'm having trouble coming up with the words for what I'm trying to think of here.
Well, describe it. Like, don't try and turn it into a small sentence. Give us a longer description and we'll try and pare it down.
Really, Soren's reaction to the guy being in all trance out like that would have been to knock him out, but she took the time to take him away from the phone, sit him down, slap him gently, try and talk him out of it, bring him back, and she wanted to do it without actually causing him any pain, without hurting him, without, you know, just straight up knocking him out.
Kind of have a drive like that already, I guess. No, it was the stop bullying, so that it
No, this would be different.
When I described it when we were talking about it, I said, like, we're not monsters.
We can have that as a drive, like, we're not monsters.
I just came up with an idea. How about peaceful resolution?
Peaceful resolution? Okay.
Well. Not every situation needs to end in violence. Something like that.
That fits really well. Thank you.
Oh, she and Steve have a great time working together.
Now, each of you guys got 3 experience for the Team Origins. We'll spend that before the next session. But that pretty much brings us to a close. What did you? How did you guys feel about going through your issue zeros in Team Origin?
That was enjoyable.
It was definitely different. I didn't expect day one to have to try and stop a hurricane.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us did. Except for me, because I'd been thinking about that idea for issue zero for like 3 days. So
I'm going to go ahead and stop recording.
I liked it, though. But yeah, okay.
Are we going to do any kind of sign out?
Like what?
I don't know.
Well, stay classy. I have no idea.
Stay classy, San Diego.
This is Three Rivers. Deuces.
Yeah. Peace out.
We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of the Three Rivers Academy. Our theme music is by Kevin MacLeod and is available online at incompetech.com.